A really interesting employment story out of New York, where the City Commission on Human Rights hit a leading headhunting firm with its second biggest fine ever for failing to crack down on a company executive who allegedly violated pretty much every HR policy imaginable, including groping an underling, telling the woman he wanted to do sexually explicit things with her, simulating sex with her office door. The list goes on and on. The firm is Wegman Partners. They will have to pay the city $155,000 for the behavior of former executive chairman Scott Legg. It has also agreed to provide new sexual harassment training for its employees, changes to its HR policies, and the creation of an independent counsel or HR firm to deal with harassment complaints. The company reached a separate and private settlement with the woman who claimed she was forced out of her prestigious job as a managing director at the firm's Manhattan office in 2017 for reporting Legg's harassment. Joining us to talk about this is our great friend Howard Levitt, Levitt LLP, host of Employment Law Sundays at 1 on News Talk 1010. And going by a recent trivia question for Smart Speaker, my favorite employment lawyer. Hi, Howard.
Hey, Barb. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for doing this. You know, let me say that the New York Commission on Human Rights has collected $2.2 million from sex harassment claims since the Me Too movement started 2 years ago. I think this is pretty interesting. They're still reviewing 209 gender-based harassment complaints. Whenever I do a topic that veers into this category, inevitably somebody will text or call and say, the Me Too movement has gone too far. But stories like this prove to me why this change is needed to happen in the workplace.
Well, Barb, I don't know when these conduct happened and how long it took to get to the penalty stage. So maybe this even preceded the Me Too movement. I can tell you this. This kind of conduct before the Me Too movement would have driven any company's reputation into the sewer and would have led to massive liability. So I don't know the Me Too movement has much to do with this. In fact, I would say there's a lot less conduct like this after the Me Too movement because everyone's afraid to behave this way in a way they weren't before.
And I mean, it is that isn't that a good thing? Because this behavior is so over the top, ridiculous.
No, it's absolutely a good thing. But even before Me Too, no one would be as well. No one, I guess he was, but not many companies or individuals would ever behave so outrageously, egregiously as this guy did.
So then I guess that leads me to ask you or assume that you, in your role as an employment lawyer to companies and to employees, you have not come across behavior like this in the last few years.
I haven't. I can't think of ever seeing behavior as egregious as this one. It just was so over the top, and he kept getting away with it. His employer didn't fire him. I can't think of a client of mine who wouldn't have fired him 10 years ago, 20 years ago for this behavior, quickly.
Well, not only did he not get fired, she got fired for complaining about his behavior.
At least that's how the story comes out, but maybe it's true. It's hard to believe, it's hard to fathom that that's possible.
Have you seen, if you have not seen cases like this, and
I've seen lots of cases like this, just not this extreme.
Okay. Have you seen cases like this since the Me Too movement happened, or have you always seen cases like this?
I've always seen cases like this, and I've seen less since the Me Too happened, but I've seen more people complaining about it since the Me Too happened, and they're complaining about things that would have been seen as too minor before. And I've seen complaints that, frankly, aren't founded, that aren't real harassment
right
after the Me Too movement has started. For example, a guy goes and rests his hand on a woman's shoulder for a second while trying to focus her on pay attention to something, as he would do a guy and does to guys, and she says it's a sexual harassment when it isn't, by way of example only. People are much more sensitive than used to be. Now, look, if a guy has the habit of putting his hand on a woman's shoulder and she doesn't like, she tells him that, and the second time, that is sexual harassment. But it's all contextual.
Sure. I absolutely agree with that. And I think that, unfortunately, when we get things like this type of movement, you will have people making claims that aren't legitimately sexual harassment. But that's not to say there aren't real and legit claims, which is what we're seeing here.
There are, and I think there's less of them because people understand.
Right.
And in fact, people, if anything, are cowed into doing the opposite. So things they would have done and aren't sexual harassment they're less likely to do that might be because they might be perceived as harassment or might be unwelcome or they're afraid it'll be unwelcome. So a lot of the normal human discourse we used to have has been stifled in our workplaces.
Well, and that's unfortunate, and that shouldn't happen if it's normal human discourse. I can tell you, though, well before the Me Too movement, I've worked at places or worked with people who really did say and do inappropriate things. And I think there was a time where it was just kind of accepted that if the person is above you, you just sort of have to put up with it.
Well, not being a woman, I haven't been in the same circumstances you have. I've heard lots of stories. I've had lots of cases. But all I can say is, in my clients for many years and before me too, anything that would be defined as sexual harassment by the law largely stopped a long time ago. I think we had a couple of things that happened in Canada. First of all, we had Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas, just like the States, and that was a sea change in human harassment, human rights law and sexual harassment law. And then we had John Gomeshi.
Right.
And that was a real eye-opener to everybody about the perils of sexual harassment in the workplace. And that was before the Me Too movement. So we had a big sea change after John Gomeshi, in particular in Canada, before it happened in the United States.
You know, when I hear people say things like, you can't say anything to people, you can't do anything, you can't, I don't know, I really feel like it comes down to common sense and common courtesy and respect for other people. Like, I really don't think that, as you say, regular human discourse will be taken the wrong way in most cases. I would hope not.
Well, human common sense might mean different things to different people. I don't rely on the common sense of everybody. So you can't just rely on your instincts and your judgment unless you're well-reasoned, well, and have good judgment, and not everybody does. And people do things, because I see it in my practice, that one would think, boy, common sense would dictate otherwise, but their common sense doesn't.
It's a great point. You know, let me ask you for a final word for people who are listening and saying, I don't know how I can behave anymore around women in the office.
Treat them like you treat males in the office. I don't mean tell Jocelyn jokes. I mean the opposite. But don't think of them as some special species who has to be treated differently, either differently in a positive way or differently in a negative way. Treat them reasonably. And if you're someone who is inclined to ribald humor or sexual comments, then don't do that in front of men or women in the office.
Great advice. Howard Levitt, thank you for this.
Okay, Barb, anytime.